Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Well, it's a Food Friday, and yet today we have a meteorologist on. Jason Goff is here. Now, what's up with that? Well, of course, you know Jason Goff. He's no stranger to Vox Pop. He's one of the great News Channel 13 team of meteorologists. He often joins me on this show to talk about weather patterns. Today we welcome Jason back to the show, but we're not talking weather exactly. We're talking about New York wines and Jason's new program, Wine About the Weather. It's a show about New York wines, the weather that makes them, the regions they come from, and the food that goes best with them. It's a great idea for a show, and I've seen the show, and it's a great show. We'll talk with Jason about the program and all the great New York wines on today's Food Friday Vox Pop. You can give us a call now, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551, or you can email us, voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org. So again, even though meteorologist Jason Goff is here, we will not discuss occluded fronts or Bermuda highs or even bombogenesis, nothing. We talk, well, that's not exactly true, because weather plays a part in your program, right, Jason?
Yeah, a huge part. Yeah, this is going to be a little interesting. I don't know what to do without talking about weather here, but that's why it's in the title of the show. One of the reasons, anyway.
I got to say, you have a couple on your website, wineaboutheweather.com, and so I watched episode two. It's a grabber of a show, especially if you know not much about wine, and I must confess I am in that category.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And that's the thing. Like, I'm not a wine expert by any stretch of the imagination. I worked in restaurants for a long time. And when I was in school at Maryland, I worked in a restaurant in Washington, D.C., which is a high-end place. And we did a lot of wine tastings and seminars and things, which were great. And I learned a lot then, but I've learned a lot just doing this show. And so, you know, I think a lot of people enjoy drinking wine. And they just maybe need a little guidance here and there, and that's one of the things that we do on the show.
So the one that I watched was you went to some wineries in the Finger Lakes by Seneca Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And the fascinating thing, among the many fascinating things on that program, was the way you described how the weather plays a key role in how that wine tastes. And I think that's one of the neat hooks about this show.
Yeah, not only are you talking about the different characteristics of the flavors that the grapes take on, but it's also having to deal with the weather and the climate, too, of course, in New York State. And now in central New York State, with the aid of the Finger Lakes, I don't want to say it's easier to grow grapes there, but you have an easier time of it because of the lakes than you would if you were trying to grow them, like, let's say, in Lake Placid.
Now, this is the moderating effect of those deep lakes?
Yes, absolutely.
So the episode I saw, and I didn't know this, another thing I learned, a lot of times vineyards will be on slopes or inclines.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it was Wagner.
Wagner, yeah.
It was on a pretty good incline, and the key was it kept the frost at bay. Explain that.
Well, basically, air is a fluid just like water is, right? So air flows just like water does, and since colder air is denser than warmer air, it's going to collect at the lowest point that it can. So if you and we'll get questions like this sometimes, you know, even on the air, you know, people will email me and stuff at Channel 13 and they'll say, hey, how come you're saying that there's going to be frost and it's 35 degrees? Well, that's because it might be 35 degrees 6 feet off the ground, but at ground level, it's cold enough to make, you know, to have frost form, because if it, you know, you'll get that dew and it'll freeze up. So the idea behind putting these vineyards on a slope is that cold air will not be able to collect there because gravity will just pull it down because it's dense. So it'll collect. And in this case, what it'll actually do is that cold air, and if you could somehow, you can see this online in different places, I'm sure, where they'll have different enhancements of air and you'll see how air and turbulence and things work. But you can actually, you would imagine this air coming down the slope, going out over the lake, and then coming back up onto the slope again, but the lake will actually warm that air up.
Amazing.
So the air is constantly moving and it's mixing around, and that's what what it does is it extends the growing season in the fall, but it also suppresses the grapes in the springtime, which is good too, because They don't want, they being the grape growers and the winemakers, they don't want their buds to come out too early, because then if you get a frost, you're in trouble.
We're joined today by Jason Goff, who's you know him as a meteorologist, but his program that we're talking about today is Wine About the Weather, and it's a show about New York wines. As I said, I was watching episode 2, and it's amazing how scientific these multi-generational farms really are.
Yeah.
And they talk about making sure that the wine, that the grapes are getting sun. And so they angle the, not trellises, but wires.
They're catch wires. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's really quite incredible. And they know when they have to, they know when the weather is just right and when it's too early and too late to do this. It's quite incredible.
Yeah, those guys are really, really on top of things. The fella in that episode, John Wagner, it was his dad that started the vineyards back in the 70s, and they were grape growers long before. Welch's grapes actually used to contract out a lot of these grape farmers to sell grape for grape juice.
Sure.
Well, then they pulled out in the 70s, and they started to source to other regions or whatever. So now you have all these, you know, grape farmers out there going, well, what the heck do we do now? And so in 1976, you had the New York, I think it's called the New York Wineries Farm Act or something along those lines. But anyway,
to encourage this.
Yeah. And it basically what it did was it allowed the farmers to grow grapes, make wine, and sell it from their properties. And that's what they started to do. As soon as that came out, these wineries started to pop up.
And of course, a lot of these farms that had been there for generations, they had made their own wine for their own consumption for years.
Yeah.
But there's a learning curve there, and it's a rather steep one to make good wine that you can sell. And one of the points you make in this show is that the quality of New York wine is up, up, up.
Yeah, and you know, and that's just the natural process of things. I mean, there was a time, I mean, you know, what's the standard of wine in the United States is California, right? Because California produces 90% of the wine that's made in the United States. But New York State is the third largest grape-producing state in the country.
How about wine? Are they up there? I mean, I know California has a predominance of the wine, but
yeah.
Are we in the top five?
New York State is number three.
For wine?
Yeah.
Amazing.
So you have California as number one, Washington State, New York, Oregon. So those are the top four. And then from there, it tails off a lot. Believe it or not, there's at least one winery in every state in the country, all 50 states, which is kind of neat.
So you can even make decent wine up in Maine and far north?
I haven't had it. I don't know, but I would imagine that they, you know, they can do a pretty good job. I think maybe in northern Maine might be a bit of a trick, but
yeah.
These folks have figured out ways. I mean, there's one of the shows that we're going to be doing coming up, probably our next show actually, is going to be in the Upper Hudson Valley. There's the Upper Hudson Valley Wine Trail.
Sure.
So you have my friends from the Saratoga Winery, for example, great folks there, and they actually buy their grapes from Wagner.
Do they really?
Yeah. So Rich is the winemaker, and he told me flat out, he said, look, man, I'm not a farmer. His uncle was a winemaker, and so he kind of learned how to make wine, but he's like, I don't know how to do this. And it's difficult to grow grapes in this part of the state anyway, but there is a place in Scaghtikoke called Victory View Vineyards. They were actually written up in the New York Times a couple weeks ago, and they have their own vineyard, and they make all of their own wine from their own grapes. It's called estate bottling.
Right.
That is a feat. I'm really looking forward to seeing how they do that because, as we know, growing season here is not that long. I mean, people are starting to plant now, and generally by first, second week in October, we're pretty much cooked.
It must be not a large run.
No, but that's the thing, though. You basically deal with the weather that you're dealt with and the climate that you're dealt with. You know, one of the things that I learned in the first episode that we did from a winery and vineyard out there called Glenora, it's on the other side of Seneca Lake from Wagner. They were the first one on Seneca Lake. And one of the things that I learned there is that the reds that come out of New York, at least in that part of New York State, they're not as – sometimes red wines are referred to as big or chewy or something along those lines. You don't generally get that with New York reds. Not anybody's fault. It's just the way that the climate is. So instead of having, whereas in California, you have a 9-month growing season for red wine grapes. In New York, it's like 3 months.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had a Cabernet out there and it was great. It just was not what you would think.
On the light side?
Yeah. It was more of like a Pinot Noir type of style wine. But there are some colder, hardier red grapes, like Cabernet Franc is a big one out there. And that tends to be a little bit bigger. And the Merlot is really good as well.
that's a good wine to try. But I would imagine that would be a tough one to master. Our number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Jason Goff is our guest. His new program, which is on, I guess, on Sundays on Channel 13 on WNYT.
Yep.
It's also on My 4, but I don't know when.
My 4, WNYA, My 4 at 9 a.m. Sundays. And at 11 a.m. on News Channel 13, right after Meet the Press, and with this crazy election season,
perfect time.
It's a great lead-in, yeah. So it's a nice thing to have. Now this Sunday, it is not going to be on Channel 13 because NBC Sports has preempted Meet the Press and Wine About the Weather, but it will be on My 4. It'll be a repeat. We are debuting our third episode next Sunday. We just got back from the North Fork of Long Island, and we shot two episodes down there.
Wow. Okay. And so how was the wine? You can tell me that now.
Right? Oh, it was great. It was really, really good. I mean, people say, well, of course you're going to say it's good. You're down there. But I'm not – I mean, I will tell you, if I'm not a fan of a wine or a particular – I'll tell you like it is. There were some really good wines down there.
Really?
Yeah, really good.
Are they long established or are they fairly new vineyards?
No, they're these places have been around for a while down there as well. And there are some of the bigger ones that you might have heard of down in the North Fork, like Pindar and some of these. But there are a ton of them down there. And some, you know, there's some boutique-y wines that you can try, just different varietals of different things. One of the shows that we did, it's the fourth episode, there's a place down there called Sparkling Point, and all they do is make sparkling wine.
Oh, really?
The only such winery and vineyard in New York State to do so, and it's good stuff as well.
Okay, well, I think you'd tell us if it wasn't good stuff.
Yeah.
Our guest today, Jason Goff, his program is Wine About the Weather. The number to call is 800-348-2551. We'll take a break and then we'll hit the phones.
Support for WAMC comes from The Black Sheep Downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butterscratch bakery, caterer, and cafe offering fair trade coffee. BlackSheepDeli.com. Gloriosa & Company, Ashfield, Massachusetts, planning and catering weddings, showers, reunions, and other gatherings indoors or out at the Curtis House with three rooms available or at a variety of venues around the area. GloriosaCO.com. Cafe Capriccio, Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grand Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. And Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings, Saturday afternoons, SpiritHAUS.com.
Vox Pop. It's Food Friday on WAMC. Ray Graff here, 800-348-2551. We're joined today by Jason Goff on a lousy weather day, but we're not talking about the weather exactly. We're talking about wine, and Wine About the Weather is Jason's new show. So weather plays a role, and it's an interesting role. The one episode I watched earlier in the week, you really get the feel for how the weather affects these things. It's really amazing.
You do. And, you know, and just like any other crop, you know, grapes, you have to deal with the weather. Climate, you know, because climate is an average of weather over time. But weather, you know, varies from year to year, as we all know. So, you know, but there are provisions in place and you try to mitigate things and they do things to try to keep the grapes from freezing. Except for when it's time to make ice wine. That's a whole different story.
But I got to tell you, not a big fan of ice wine.
I'm not either, but, it's a matter of personal taste. You know, people like to have it as an after-dinner drink. I prefer a port. But
me too.
I like the ports. But ice wine is good. It's popular. And it's a neat process. So that's going to be actually the last show that we do for this season.
How you make it?
Yeah, we're going to spend some time.
They talked about it on the show I watched.
And yes.
So you basically, you make it while it's... the grapes are frozen. The
grapes are frozen, yeah. And it's very sweet. It's very thick. You know, it's got some viscosity to it.
It certainly does.
And but it's pretty good stuff. But you've got to wait. So, you know, we are truly going to be weather, depending on the weather for that episode. We'll do it sometime after Thanksgiving. If it's cold enough early, we'll do it early. If we have to do it in the middle of December, so be it.
At this rate, you'll do it in May.
Yes.
Yeah. Chilly. Let's go to Al in Albany. Al, you're on. Thanks for waiting. Hello, Al. Hello, Al. Al might not be near the phone. I think he's there, but all right. Well, let's put Al on hold.
And, hi.
Oh, you're there. Oh, go ahead,
yes,
Al.
I am.
Go ahead, man.
Hi, hi, Jason, and hello, Ray.
Hi.
I wanted to just mention two things. Maybe you could talk a little bit, Jason, about how New York State wines first started, where they actually, in order to deal with the cold climate in the frozen ground, they grafted French roots onto vines in New York.
Yep.
In order to make that happen. And the other thing is, it seems to me that New York really has two superior wines. You mentioned one of them, which is the Cabernet Franc, which I think is a wonderful food-friendly wine.
Yes.
And there's some very good white wines, both in the Hudson Valley and as well as in the Finger Lakes, that are extremely food-friendly. That I think a lot of people kind of gravitate towards the California wines, but if they look around, there are some really fantastic ones.
Yeah, there really are, and you know, and that's one of the reasons we're here. I mean, to let people know. I mean, Ray and I were just talking about it off the air here in our last break that, you know, I started to say before, back in the day, California was, you know, the people in Europe, you know, the Europeans kind of looked down their noses, oh, California. And then they came out and busted a move and won this big award and, you know, this blind tasting and the rest so is history, so to speak. And New York is following those same lines because, you know, New York wine has come so far. And you have other states now that are where New York was 20 years ago, places like Virginia and Texas. They're starting
Texas,
to develop.
Texas, really?
Yeah. They're starting to develop some wines there. We have so many different climates in Texas, too. You have dry, you have tropical, you have all kinds of stuff. So, but the thing about the New York grapes, and you're right, Al, is Cabernet Franc is huge. It's a more of a cold-tolerant grape, and so is Riesling is huge out in the Finger Lakes. And you can actually kind of condition the grapes to be more cold tolerant. It's almost like getting them in shape to handle the cold in a sense. So, but there are some really good wines up and down the Hudson Valley. I'm going to be doing two shows, one from the Upper Hudson Valley Wine Trail, and then the other we're going to head down farther downstate, places like Brotherhood, which is the oldest winery in
sure.
the country, Millbrook.
Yeah, but Brotherhood imports all their wines, all their grapes. Now they don't grow any anymore.
No, but they're still a New York winery, and they're the oldest in the country. Millbrook,
right.
Millbrook is another that people have recommended, and that's the other thing too on my site.
Well, the Millbrook is a high volume outfit, but one of the ones that I think you ought to look at because I think they're fantastic, and they have some Cabernet Sauvignon that I've found will match anything, and that's Wycliffe Vineyards, and it's not too far. It's in Ulster County, and it's right outside of New Paltz. It's fantastic. They get their name from the White Cliffs, which is part of the escarpment.
Okay, well, we're going to take a note of that, and Al, thanks a lot. He talks like an executive producer, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. That's good, and I'm glad that he brought that up because we have on my site, wineaboutheweather.com, there's a tab up there called Suggest a Stop.
Yeah.
And people can go on there and just make some suggestions, not only about wineries, but, you know, hey, if you're in Alexandria Bay, which will be there in the summer,
that'll be fun. Go
check out this restaurant or whatever. I got to do some fishing up there.
Yeah, man, and swat the eagle-sized mosquitoes that are up
there
in the summertime.
Too.
Let's go over to Jim in Waynesburg. Jim, you're on.
How are you doing?
Good.
Thank you for the show today. I got a couple questions for you on New York State varietal. I'm a California red drinker, red Zins, Cabs. I love New York City Malbecs.
Mm-hmm.
Spanish, Tempranillos, things along that line. You mentioned, is this the Franc, the Cabernet Franc?
Yes.
Is more akin to like an Oregon Pinot?
No, the Cabernet that I tried out in from Glenora was more of like a Pinot, and it was actually, whereas I found, because I love Oregon Pinot Noirs are my favorite. Ponzi, I think those are fantastic. The California Pinots tend to have a little bit more muscle to them, and it was, so it reminded me a little more of a California Pinot Noir that Cab did. Now, the thing about Cabernet Franc, though, is I would recommend that you try it out. It is a more of a cold, hardy grape, so it's more suited to this climate. And back in the day, it was primarily a blending grape. Just like back in the 80s, that's what Merlot was. So to have Cabernet Franc now stand on its own is pretty good. So I would try that out for sure. And I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, that was the thing. My brother it just recently introduced. My mom lives in Sonoma County. And so I'm out there quite frequently. And, I mean, she's... Her where she lives is just right at the entrance of a very major vineyard's tasting room. And so I love California wines. My brother does too. He was the one that introduced me to the Oregon Pinot, which I agree with you. I think I like the Oregon Pinots over anything else I've been drinking lately. I just am trying to find something that it, from a New York State perspective, that isn't a white, that isn't just so, for lack of a better word, thin. And there's just no body to a New York red. And that's, I'd love to drink New York wines, but at this point in time, I've just been trying to find anything that has some depth and like you said, that was just big or bigger.
Right. No, that's a very valid point, because, you know, people like what they like. And as I said before, the climate in New York, at least in the central part of the state, doesn't really allow to get those big cabs and stuff. So,
well, Long Island should be better,
Long Island's a little bit better because the growing season's a little longer. I would recommend trying a Cabernet Franc from the Finger Lakes, or try a Merlot from Long Island in the North Fork. There's one fella.
Last question for you.
Go ahead.
One last question for you, Jason. Is there any hope that New York State's going to come to its senses and start allowing us to buy wine in the grocery store?
Well, there you go. That's the $64,000 question.
I'm staying clear of that. My pal Neil Golub and a lot of other folks, they are, believe me, they're in your corner. They are trying to get that done. I can see both sides of it. I really can. And I, that's something me and whine about the weather will have nothing to do with.
That's a very wise decision. Jason Goff is our guest. His program is Whine About the Weather. It's on News Channel 13 on Sunday mornings and also on My4. So this one came in via email. And by the way, if you want to call, 800-348-2551 is the number, 800-348-2551. Or the email is voxpop@wamc.org. This one came in via email from Pete in Delmar, who says, I've been drinking New York State wines for a long time, but one overlooked type of wine that, since it's easier to obtain raw materials, is mead. Particularly, mm-hmm. I mean fruit and fruit blend meads. I've been making these for several years out of my local honey and any local fruit I can get my hands on. My friends and I have found it to be very good drinking, and the varieties are endless.
Yeah.
You doing a show on mead at any time?
Well, you know what? When we go up to the Upper Hudson Valley Wine Trail, we will definitely make a stop at the Saratoga Winery. Those guys will always have a special place in my heart, because you'll see on my website the demo that we did, just to kind of get an idea of what it would look like. Rich and Tara, they're the husband and wife, they own it, and they brought us in. They took great care of us. And Rich makes a wine called a Mellow Mel.
Oh, yeah?
Which is a mead style. It's made with local honey, made with local fruit. He ages them in Jim Beam whiskey barrels.
Well, all right.
Which is great. You'll see that in the demo. He'll talk about it a little bit, so you can see that part of the episode there on wineaboutheweather.com. And that's what he does. His uncle, he said, lives in Pennsylvania. He's made it. So I totally agree.
Okay.
You can try it out, and there are some other ones around. And some of the other wineries around the state, they are making some fruit-infused wines that are more summery type things.
Yeah. Well, I saw you on the show drinking a wine slushy, and I would have to draw the line on a wine slushy.
It was okay. I mean, I'm not a sweet wine drinker, which, that's just my own preference. But, I could see making those for the summertime would be good. And on the site, too, there are a couple of recipes as to how to make a wine slushy. It was a little more labor-intensive than I thought, still very easy.
It's not just wine and ice and blend it up?
No, basically what you do is you take some fruit of whatever kind you want, and then take some wine,
So sangria, like.
In a sense, but, you know, let's say we get, you know, you have, let's say you're a big strawberry fan in June, okay? You want to take a nice white wine or a lighter styled red wine, put that in a blender, then take some ice cube trays, pour that in the ice cube trays, let it freeze.
Yeah.
Then take it out, put it back in the blender, put some more wine in, put it through the blender, and there's your wine
slush. Okay. I'm not sold. All right.
How about that?
Email address is voxpop@wamc.org, or the number is 800-348-2551. Jason Goff is our guest, and his program is Wine About the Weather. You have a designated driver for this show? I see you swilling an awful lot of wine on this program.
Well, fortunately, we stayed on site at Glenora.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so we do that. But, yeah, no drinking and driving, to be sure. And they're just little sips, and there's plenty of time in between I'm done with that and driving home, so I'm good.
Okay, man. So, you know, I'm not a wine drinker at all. Okay, and we've done wine shows before, and I go along with the show. So I watched you on the show, and you were tasting some wines, I think at Wagner. This is before you went to the sustainable vineyard,
which
we'll talk
spot.
About in a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But you're tasting the wine, and you both, the lady who was serving and you, spin your glass in this really cool way. What's up with that?
It just basically, you just kind of open it, just like any other thing. You know, you like a cordial or something like that. You know, you're just basically opening it up a little bit more. You allow it to breathe. And the other thing that you do, especially people do it with reds, they'll say, they want to see what the legs have on the wine, what the legs look like. And that's just sort of, so if you get a good swirl on the glass to where the wine level starts to get up toward the mouth of the glass, and then you let it settle.
See how much
then
stays
on
the
glass? You see these little kind of streams of red wine coming down. Those are called legs. So generally speaking, the heavier the wine, the more pronounced the legs will be.
Brilliant. Okay, so, I've learned something. All right, before we get back to the phones, this one is from email, and it's from Elliot, who says, over the last 3 years, I ran a wine tasting club. We did 12 blind tastings. For each, we would have a very expensive, $80, to inexpensive, $5.
Mm-hmm.
A box wine won 10 of the 12. We drank a 3-liter box costing about $4.21 per equivalent 750-milliliter bottle.
Wow.
Most research says people cannot tell the difference between expensive and inexpensive wines.
Absolutely. Yeah, there is not a correlation that you can hang your hat on that says just because a wine is more expensive, it's a better wine. First of all, and this is the cornerstone of any wine drinker, the best wine out there is whatever kind you like, period. And don't make any excuses for it. Don't
so even
make
if
any
it's
apologies
like Mad Dog 2020?
Who cares, man? Right, if that's what you like, that's what you like.
All right, fair enough. Boone's Farm?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Aha! Yeah. I knew I could get you to draw the line.
I had Thunderbird one time. Well, awful vile
have
stuff.
You heard Thunderbird? Yes. Let's go to Gina and Troy. Gina, you're on with Jason Goff.
Hi, I was wondering if you could tell me, I've had some really good Riesling in New York State. I was wondering if you could recommend a good Pinot Grigio. And I'm going to turn it off and listen for your answer.
Hey, Gina, thanks for the call.
Okay, thank you, Gina. To be honest with you, I don't have a Pinot recommendation because I've not tried any yet.
No New York versions.
No New York Pinot Grigios, no. So I'm sorry I can't be of any
more
help
with that. Is
that
a tough one weather-wise, climate-wise in this?
Well, I mean, it's an Italian grape, obviously, and you know, nobody in the world makes wine like the Italians do. I mean, they have so many varietals, and it's just part of the culture, obviously. And the Italians know what they're doing when it comes to wine, for sure. So, and obviously, Italy is a warmer climate. So, I don't know. That's a good question, and I'll have to look into that. But the some of the whites that I've had are really good, and they are lighter styled, like a Pinot Grigio. Other than a, you know, I mean, she said she had the Riesling, so that's one possibility, but there are some other whites out there that are really good. Wagner has one called a Melody. It's a blend, and you can get that at All Star Wine and Spirits because I got some the other day.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay, so you're not getting the free samples. So you're not doing – you need a better executive producer for this program. The number to call here is 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Jason Goff is our guest. His program is Wine About the Weather. Get it? W-I-N-E. About the weather. Let's go to Mary in Granville.
Yes.
Hi, you're on.
Have you heard about the winery in Westbrookville? It's called the Basher Kill Winery.
No, I have not. Where is that?
It's in part in Sullivan and part in Orange. It's okay. On the Basher Kill Road, right on the Basher Kill.
Okay.
And because of the fact that they have a lot of moisture there, the wine is very good.
And they grow all of their own grapes?
They also have people that make food for the weekend, for Saturday and Sunday. So you can sample their food and mix it with your wine so you don't go home drunk.
Well, yeah, you know what?
Very, very well put.
No, that's great. No, that and that's part of the show, too, is that we pair food with wine.
Right.
As well, so that's great. I will I will look into that for sure because I do want to check out the show. Moves my the guys that shoot it for me. He's like, man, the show has to move. We don't want anybody to get bored. So when we're visiting our Hudson Valley wineries, where they're going to do, like I said, two episodes, we'll go to a couple of different places. So I will check that place out.
Mary, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. Now, one of the places that you went in episode two, which is what I watched earlier in the week, was you were at Wagner, and then you went across the lake to a sustainable farm, a sustainable vineyard, and they make their own wines as well.
Yeah, Hazlitt 1852. They make some good wines. They actually have two different sites. One site is where we were. That's more of the boutique, and they do varietals, different varietals every year, just depending completely on the weather. So the winemaker that we talked with, he was like, you know, in a good year, they'll make 15, and in a year that's not that great, they'll make 5 or 6.
And he was quite matter of fact. If the weather's bad,
it
is what
around.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what you have to do. They're not going to try to pass off some crummy wine. If the weather doesn't allow you to do it this year, then so be it. The other spot that they have is farther up the road, and they make exclusively a wine there called Red Cat. And that is the number one selling New York made wine.
Really?
Yes.
Red Cat.
Red Cat. And you
just
can also
a table wine?
It is a table wine. It's sweet. It's more of like a weekend thing. I could see it going like with pizza or something along those lines. Or even I'm trying to think of some other things off the top of my head, like maybe some potato pancakes with some scallions on them. You know, anything along those lines. But you can also get that at All Star. Wine and Spirits, that he has it there as well.
Yeah.
And it's a sweet, but the funny thing about Red Cat is that it's supposed to have some, we'll say, properties. I heard that there are some Red Cat babies running around Seneca Lake.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Hey, people swear by it.
Hey, well, I mean, I think wine in general, you know?
Well, that very well could be. But
50% of the time, it works every time. Jason Goff is our guest. 800-348-2551 is the number. We'll be back on a Food Friday.
Support for WAMC comes from Field Goods, working with Hudson Valley farmers to deliver weekly subscriptions of local produce year-round to workplaces and community locations. Supports small farms and healthy eating. Field-goods.com. Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, offering full-service catering at the restaurant in Sunderland and throughout western Massachusetts. BlueHeronDining.com/catering. River Valley Co-op, Northampton, Massachusetts, a food co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department with made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and salad bar, and a bakery, rivervalley.coop. Big Y, family-owned and operated market with 4 locations in the Berkshires, celebrating 80 years of serving communities throughout New England, bigy.com. And the Open Door Bookstore, Schenectady, New York, presenting Rudy Neidegger, signing his books, Dealing with Anxiety and Understanding Depression, Saturday, May 14th, 1 to 2:30 p.m., opendoor-bookstore.com.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. 800-348-2551 is the number. Jason Goff is here, and it's kind of refreshing not to talk all about the weather conditions.
Well, I like doing that too.
Oh,
but
really?
This is a little could you tell?
No.
But this is a little different, though, so it's good. This is my own little venture, and
this was your idea.
This was my idea, and I have to tell you, again, people that know me know I'm not a smoke blower, so to speak.
Right.
The station, WNYT, my general manager, they have been so supportive of this. They love the idea, and they're helping me out at every turn that they can, helping me get it on the air. I mean, there's a lot to learn. I mean, I've been working in television for a long time, but on this side of things and getting commercials put in, and it's a lot of work, but everybody's been so great and supportive, which has been, it's meant a lot to me in many ways. So
well,
it'll
be good for your
it.
Demo reel, right?
Well, we'll see.
All right. Not that they're listening over 13.
No, no.
So, well, that's great. And, of course, what you'll have to do is syndicate and then go around to Massachusetts and New Hampshire and up to Maine and Connecticut. And Connecticut must be great for wine, too.
Maybe so, yeah. Like I said, there are wineries or vineyards in all 50 states. And, you know, I wouldn't mind checking out a few others. One of my best friends lives out in Napa, and he works in the wine industry out there. He's a banker, and he said that people would love the show. But I love California. I could never live out there. I'd be bored out of my skull with the weather.
Yeah, let's go back to the phones. Jason Goff is our guest. 800-348-2551. Sue in Pittsfield. Sue, you're on.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Sue.
Gentlemen, thanks for taking my call. Gentlemen called earlier, and you also mentioned that it's hard to find a good juicy bite into red wine in the Finger Lakes area. And I go up there every year. They make a beautiful Baco Noir.
Okay.
That is, because I'm a red lover, and, you know, they are a little weak on their reds, but I get the Baco Noir, and it's very nice.
That's good to know. Yeah, and we'll be out in the Finger Lakes again around harvest time, and I want to hit on that because we had so many different things going on, and I certainly don't mean to say that, you know, Finger Lakes reds are not good. They're just different, that's all.
They
are very good.
Their whites are amazing.
Say it again, Sue. You kind of have a bad connection there. Say that one more time.
Oh, I said they're very strong on their whites. Their whites are lovely.
Yes, absolutely. And the reds are good, too. It's just that, like I said, they're a little different. So this is called, again, a what noir?
A Baco. B-O-C-O, I believe.
Okay. All right. I will check that out.
Oh, no, B-A-C-O.
Here's my pen.
B-A-C-O.
Got to get Goff his own pen for the next show. Hey, Sue, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551. Karen in Rensselaer. Karen, you're on.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
I was wondering about how many wineries, vineyards in the area actually grow their own grapes?
I love this question.
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to it. There are some that do. I don't even want to hazard a guess, but the wineries that are around, I know there's a winery up in Saratoga, or vineyard up in Saratoga called Fossil Stone, Victory View, as I said. But a lot of folks will do is they will buy, like at Saratoga Winery, they buy most of their grapes from Wagner, and then they get a few others from Cayuga Lake, but they're all New York grapes. So,
like even out in the Finger Lakes, how many of those wineries about, do you know?
A lot of them do grow their own grapes. Now there are some wineries that are out there that don't grow their own grapes.
You mentioned the Saratoga.
Yeah, locally, the Saratoga Winery gets, you know, they get theirs from, and they'll source them out from other spots. I know the Adirondack Winery gets their grapes from other places as well in New York. So, because, you know, again, because it's, farming is a whole different plane to this, you know, and around here, it's difficult to farm good grapes that are going to produce good wine. So they say, well, hey, if we know how to make it, just give me the grapes and I'll make it one. You know, it's everybody has their own style anyway.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the way that goes. But there is at least one winery in all but three counties in New York State.
And what
three? 62 counties. Of all things, Fulton and Hamilton counties do not have a winery in them.
Why would that be?
Well, Hamilton County doesn't have a big population year-round. And a lot of people that live there in the summer, they, you know, people have camps and stuff up there. And I think they just don't want to mess with growing grapes. So Fulton County, I don't know. It's kind of, you're kind of at the foothills of the Adirondacks there, too. And then the other one, I think, is Kings County downstate, which is a real urban.
Well, yeah, there's
spot,
probably
so
no
you
room.
See that, but,
although I bet you there's some people making the wine in their bathtubs.
Well, that
down
could
there.
Be. That could
Karen,
be.
Thanks for the call. Jason Goff is our guest. 800-348-2551 is the number. Joe in Amsterdam. Joe.
Jason.
Yes.
It's a pleasure to talk to you.
You too, sir.
I was wondering if there are any New York wineries that make a nice dry rosé like they make in Provence.
Oh, yes. I'm glad you asked because...
It was on the show.
Yeah. Well, we just got back from Long Island last week. And the fourth episode, which will air in the beginning of June, because NBC has a couple of preemptions coming up for the rest of this month.
Yeah.
This coming Sunday and then 2 weeks from Sunday, the show's preempted. So we'll air that episode in June. But the other episode that we did, I debunked two myths. One was the myth that sparkling wine is only to be consumed in special occasions and things like that. The other was that all pink wine is like not good. It's sweet, and that is not the case. There are some fantastic rosés, and this is kind of rosé season too, by the way.
Coming up.
So, yeah, I mean, a lot of the folks down there, they've already bottled theirs. They'll bottle them in March. So but there are some really good ones. Croteau is one down there. He exclusively makes rosés. There's another vineyard down on the South Fork that we didn't go to. But the one that we went to is called Costa Conta, and that's the guy's last name. And, yeah. And just a really, really good rosé. So, yeah, there are some fabulous rosé, sparkling and flat, that are really,
yeah,
really good in New York.
I learned to drink that on the beaches in the Caribbean.
Well, if next time, you know, if you need a luggage boy or something, you just let me know. But I'll tell you what, there are some really good rosés out there that are done in the traditional Provence style, especially out in the North Fork, because the climate out there tends to have the wines drier and with a little bit of a lower alcohol content, and they are made in the Provence style.
What is the name of that one? Costa what?
Costa Conta. K-O-S-T-O.
He's going from memory, Joe.
Costa Conta. There we go. K-O-S-T-O. K-O-N-T-A. And you'll see that episode again. That'll be the first Sunday in June.
Joe, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551. So warmer climate and a longer growing season means less alcohol?
Not necessarily, but just the way that they grow the grapes and make the wines down down on Long Island, because of the soil content, even the salt air, it tends to produce a little bit of a drier wine, and they tend to have a little bit of a lower alcohol content.
Very interesting.
The way that they ferment them too. I mean, the alcohol comes from the fermentation, so it's just the way that the winemakers like to have that balance. Because you can have some high alcohol, and that's been the trend over the last 10-plus years anyways, that these wines have a higher alcohol content. So you'll see that, you know, California wines, for example, they have a long growing season, obviously, and they have plenty of alcohol in them. So it just depends on the style and the climate from which they come.
You know, you mentioned port. Is there any New York maker of port?
I don't know. I'm going to find out.
Let's find out. And let's have a tasting on this program.
I think we should do that.
We'll have a couple cigars.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All right, let's go to Casey in Rexford. Casey, you're on.
Yeah, hi. I wanted to talk a little bit about blending wines. And this actually sort of comes under the heading of troubleshooting. But there was an earlier caller who asked about swirling wines and why you swirl wines. And
that was me, actually.
One of the reasons was it's called volatilizing the esters. And it's putting more air in the wine. And it's to get some of the bitterness out of the tannins, balance it, and balance the flavor. And
yep.
Under the heading of troubleshooting, and this comes also under the heading of blending wines, is one of the things that you can do at home is if you open up a bottle of wine, and as one of the callers was saying, is, you know, why can't New York wines have a little more, the red wines have a little more, let's say, body to them? And by accident, at Christmas time, we discovered in opening up a couple of bottles of French Bordeaux that we didn't, you know, they just didn't have enough kind of body to them. And so we opened up a couple of other Bordeaux that had a little too much body. And so what we did was we took a couple of pitchers and we just started pouring wines and adding these other bottles of wines to them. And we came up with a fantastic blended wine that we blended ourselves, and it was just out of this world.
Cool.
So
that sounds
that
like
you can do for yourself for a lot of fun is just, you know what? If you don't like what you have, start opening another bottle and maybe add something else to it, and you'll get something that you do like.
You end
I like
up
that.
With 12 pitchers, and you won't remember the night. But well done,
that's
Casey.
That's good. Thank you very much.
This one came in via email from Jack. I find the lighter aspect of New York wines to make great sangrias. Do you have a set of recommendations for sangria recipes?
Oh yeah, I make. Ask some of my pals at the station. I make a good.
Oh really?
Sangria.
This is before you go on the air.
No? During, actually.
Okay, I like that.
Friday night, sangria night on News Channel 13. No. We reserve our sangria for the weekends, but a good recipe for sangria, I basically, I like to put in fruit. You can't put it in too early. Especially things like apples, because apples are like sponges, and it's okay to eat the fruit afterwards, but, you know, that's a whole different deal. But, put in some fruit. I'll put in a little bit of orange juice and some brandy and a little bit of sugar as well. I'll mix that, all the brandy and the OJ and the sugar together, pour it in, and I just let it sit for about an hour or so. Now, the traditional sangria recipes have you put it over ice with like a sparkling water seltzer or something like that. I don't do that. Just drink it right out of the thing, put a little bit of fruit in there, and you're good to go.
Well, those NYT parties must rock. Let's go to Jim in North Pownell, Vermont. Jim, you're on.
Hey, Ray. Hey, Jason. We share two passions, meteorology and wine.
All right.
Go figure.
I was a Navy meteorologist in the 70s, and I've been making wine since the 70s. But I do have a question about the difference between a Pinot Grigio and a Pinot Gris.
Uh-huh.
Can you expound upon that?
I will try. The Pinot Gris you'll see a lot of Pinot Gris that come out of the Northwest, out of Oregon and Washington. There are some that come out of California, too, Northern California. And the Pinot Gris, to me, is a little bit lighter. It's a real summertime type wine.
Yes.
Whereas the Pinot Grigio tends to be a little bit more complex. Now, they're both lighter styled white wines.
Yep.
But I, you know, it's the Pinot Gris that you get from the Northwest as opposed to, like, say, a good Italian Pinot Grigio. You can tell the difference. The Pinot Grigio is going to be able to stand up to a little bit heavier foods.
Yep.
So that's what
Jeff,
it is.
Thanks a lot for the call. Let's quickly go over to Jeff in Northern New Jersey. Jeff, you're on with Jason Goff.
Thanks a lot. I was always under the impression, and you could, you know, clarify it, that the cooler the climate, the less dry the wine, like a German Auslese, which is a dessert wine, and the warmer the climate, or even hot, makes a drier wine, like what you might find in the Mediterranean. And I was listening before. I think Taylor makes a port. I don't know if they're in New York, but I think they might be. They make
interesting.
Port.
Interesting.
Oh, Taylor does make a port. I don't know where they're out of, but I know Taylor does make a port. You can see them around. I mean, there's so many different ports.
Yeah, I like the Tawny. I'm not so keen on the Ruby.
Yeah, I like the Tawnies too, or the LBVs are good as well. But anyway, back to your question about climate. It just depends on the grape varietal, and it also depends on the weather of the year too, because you can have, I mean, we are in New York State, I don't want to say drought bulletproof, but we're pretty drought proof in New York. So we're going to have some rains that are going to be able to go, but you're talking about having with that hot, dry climate, you can make just about anything. And it also depends even on where you put. I mean, we're talking before about putting vines on slopes. Even putting vines on slopes will put a little bit more strain on the grapes themselves, because they have to work harder to establish roots
Makes
and maybe
sense.
To get water, whatever. So that's going to add more complexity to it just by geography, for example. So that's kind of how that goes. But in terms of the different climates and stuff, it depends on the style. It depends on the blending, if you're going to do that. There's lots of different things that go into it.
So if you leave the grapes on longer, it becomes sweeter, right? Am I wrong?
If you leave the grapes on longer, they will have more of a sugar content. Yeah. So
you get stronger wine?
They're going to be, not necessarily. Now, it can if you're going to let them ferment longer, because the sugar is part of the fermenting process, the fermentation. But if you leave them on there a little bit longer, they're going to have that richer style to them. And that's like ice wines, for example, are the ultimate, because they're there until they literally freeze.
Right. And so that's not a double fermentation process. They're that sweet and syrupy with one pass?
I don't know a whole lot about them. We're going to learn about more about them in the show. But they are so full of sugar that, you know, the things that are fermented twice are the sparkling wines. That's how you get the bubbles the second time.
That I did not know.
Yeah.
And so there are some good sparkling wines to be had on Long Island.
Oh, yeah. And around the state, really.
You know, just a note. The next time we do a show about wine, you might want to bring a couple bottles.
Yeah, I'll do that.
You know, it'll be good. All right, let's see if we can squeeze one more in here. Let's go to Cheryl in Albany. Cheryl, you're on. You have about 30 seconds with Jason Goff.
Hi. I just wanted to point out that Brotherhood does a really nice Ruby Port. It's excellent. I believe they're a New York brewer.
But they don't get their grapes locally anymore. At least that's what one of our callers said.
Yeah, but no, that's good. If they,
maybe they do. I could be wrong.
Yeah, we'll find that out. But that's good to know because we'll be down at Brotherhood later this summer.
All right, so that's
they do some excellent beer too.
Well, oh, that's good.
Don't they make a chocolate wine too around Christmas time?
They might. There's a really good chocolatier down in the Catskills, so we're going to get into all of that. This show is off and running. I hope everybody enjoys it.
All right, Jason Goff, the program is on this Sunday at 11?
This Sunday it is on only at 9 o'clock on My4 because NBC has preempted.
That's right.
For NBC Sports, so there's no Meet the Press, no Wine About the Weather. So next week you will see our third episode, which is our first one from Long Island, but you can also see the episodes on wineaboutheweather.com, and I put blogs on there and all kinds of stuff.
You know, it's a good watch. It's about 21 minutes for an episode, mm-hmm. but it goes fast. Your boys who do the show out of Maine or wherever they are,
fantastic.
They do a good job.
Yeah, they really do.
Good production values, as we say.
Yes.
Jason Goff, thanks for being here, my friend. We'll see you next time.
Yes, sir.
Support comes from the Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, announcing their updated website with more information about membership grants and loans so our past has a future, preservenys.org. Terrapin Restaurant Bistro Bar, Rhinebeck, New York, offering dog-friendly outdoor patio dining in the heart of Rhinebeck Village, lunch, dinner, and late night, terrapinrestaurant.com. Sutter Meats, King Street, Northampton, providing fresh local pasture-raised beef, pork, and lamb. Additional house-made items include rotisserie chickens, bone broths, bacon jam, and handmade sausages. SutterMeats.com. And Troy Waterfront Farmers Market, now in their summer season, featuring local producer-only foods. Say it again, Ray. Producer-only foods and handmade products every Saturday morning, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. on River Street in downtown Troy. TroyMarket.org. Thanks again to Jason Goff for being here. WineAboutTheWeather.com is the website, and you can find showtimes and everything else. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Susie Chekai took the calls. Our producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. Have a great weekend. Alan will be back in the big chair on Monday for a Medical Monday at 2. Stay tuned now for news.